From the Land-Grant University in Urbana-Champaign, Illinois, this is the Closing Market Report. It is the 12th day of March, 2013. I'm Todd Gleason. In a few moments, we'll talk about the commodity markets with Wayne Nelson at L&M Commodities. He's in Newmarket, Indiana. And a bit later in the program, Elaine Cubb will return with our winter season look at marketing terms. In agricultural news, the American Soybean Association, that's the ASA, in a change of positions, has voted to maintain a target price program managed by the federal government. Mary Jo White, up for the top spot at CFTC, says she will be an unrelenting enforcer on Wall Street if her nomination is confirmed by the U.S. Senate. And a new study shows crop insurance payments to farmers in four states have preserved more than 20,000 jobs. Dave Dickey will have details in these and other stories shortly. Hey, don't forget that just after the bottom of the hour, meteorologist Don Day of Day Weather will join us to look at the agricultural weather forecast, and that it all happens on this Tuesday edition of the Closing Market Report from Illinois Public Media on the Urbana-Champaign campus of the University of Illinois.
Support for today's broadcast comes from ADM, now providing a new mobile site, FarmerView, for up-to-date futures, weather, market commentary, and local bids. Available at adm.com/farmerview.
Well, in Chicago, on a Tuesday afternoon, futures finished with the nearby contract for the soft red winter wheat 6.5 cents higher on its settlement price at $7.5. July at 7.03¾, a settlement price there, up 2 cents. In Kansas City, the hard red settled in the July or harvest month at $7.41. That was a penny higher on the day. From the corn pit, nearby contract on its settlement, $7.41, up 6.5. The May at 7.14¼. 3 cents higher in July. Corn at $6.93¾, up 3 cents for the afternoon. December futures at $5.57¼, 3¼ higher for the day. March bean futures at $14.88¾ were down 26, and these are closes now. May futures at $14.69½, down a dime. July futures at $14.46, down 8¾. August soybeans $13.99¾, down 7.5 cents. And November beans at $12.68, down 2 for the afternoon. The January futures at $12.72½ were unchanged. Bean meal futures at $4.36.80, down $1.30. Bean oil at $49.80, down 44 cents. Live cattle futures in the April at $128.70 on a settlement, up 57.5. June at $123.87½, up 45 cents. The feeder cattle finished the April contract at $142.20. That's 82.5 cents higher. And the May at $144.75, up 32.5 cents. The April lean hogs at $81.45 finished 30 cents higher. This is the Closing Market Report. Here's what the outside markets look like at this hour. Crude oil futures on the afternoon. April contract to $92.50 a barrel, up 44 cents. The RBOB, or wholesale price of gasoline, at $3.14¢ a gallon. Ethanol trading at $2.53¢. The gasoline was down 0.5¢, or half a nickel or half a penny, and the ethanol was down 0.7¢. The difference between the two now stands at 60.9 cents for the day, and the difference is at at 60.9 cents, and that's just about the same as it was yesterday. Natural gas for the afternoon trading at $3.63¼, a penny and a half lower. Heating oil or diesel fuel at $2.94¢, down 2¢, and the gold futures on the day, $1,591.70 an ounce, up $13.70. The U.S. dollar trading 82.58. That's up 0.01 on the afternoon. Here's what the weather forecast for the Urbana-Champaign area looks like this afternoon yet. A slight chance of snow, says the National Weather Service, before 4 o'clock this afternoon, then scattered rain and snow showers afterwards. Mostly cloudy, a high of 41, west winds at 17 miles an hour, gusting to 25. The chance of precipitation in any form is set at 40% for this afternoon, and then tonight, scattered rain, snow showers before 7. Chance of snow showers between 7 and 1, and mostly cloudy. A low of 23 degrees on a west wind at 11 to 15, gusting to 22. Chance of precip this evening set at 30%. Tomorrow, mostly sunny skies and a high of 37. It'll be breezy with a northwest wind tomorrow at 15 to 20 miles an hour, and then partly cloudy tomorrow night and a low of 24. Partly sunny on Thursday and 46. Thursday night, cool, partly cloudy, and 30 degrees. More on the weather forecast when we get to the bottom of the half hour.
Todd Gleason services are made available to WILL by University of Illinois Extension.
Support for agricultural programs comes from AgriGold Hybrids, featuring the AgriGold Giants, a group of five new hybrids designed to meet the performance standards of yield, health, and consistency required by Midwestern corn growers. More information is at AgriGoldGiants.com or at 800-262-7333.
On this Tuesday afternoon, let's check what's been happening on the futures markets with Wayne Nelson at L&M Commodities in New Market, Indiana. Hi, Wayne. How are you today?
Well, good afternoon, Todd.
It looked like to me, because usually if I've got the settlement prices by the time I'm reading them at 2 o'clock, at least from the corn pit, that it was fairly quiet, but the beans might have been a bit more raucous for the day.
Yeah, I think, we saw the corn staying extremely tight, especially in the March contract that goes off on Thursday. And, of course, the March beans go off on Thursday. But it looks like the non-business from China that we were expecting that didn't happen, the excuse being on the news wires, is that all the boats are sitting down outside Brazil's ports to load. And there's not freight available, or they would be switching some beans into the U.S., and they were looking for about five more loads to be announced that didn't get announced here today. So that was a little pressure that way. And I think if we look down and see the November beans up a half, I'm betting there was just a little bit of profit taken in that old crop, new crop spread.
So for the beans, it's just a matter of they can't move boats in South America, and that means they haven't been able to load and unload them and put them back in U.S. ports and pushed our demand down a bit.
I think so.
All right. And then as you look out for the last couple of days for producers to make crop insurance decisions, any final bit of advice for them?
I think that we're seeing a lot of people that are more than willing to take the 80 and 85% revenue or else the 90% grip. Everybody after the last year and looking at the craziness of our weather situation is really taking up towards the top levels, Todd.
You think that's the right thing to do? I think it.
I think so. We've got a little better rates this year. The government straightened that out, and we weren't paying extra for Arkansas this year. So, at these rates, I think it's a very good idea.
Well, one quick point of clarification, because I just don't recall. Last year, you had to ask for the trend adjustment. Is it automatic this year, or do you still have to ask?
No. That's one of the little check marks on your form. So
I was pretty certain that was the case, but had somebody pointed out to me the other way around the other day, so I figured there was confusion out there. So trend adjustment, you have to sign up for, is that the right thing to do?
In nine out of 10 cases, I'm going to say yes. If you don't have enough history or it hasn't worked for you, but 9 out of 10 cases, it generally pays.
Can we up that to 99 out of 100?
99 out of 100, probably 98. I started to say that, and I'd already done the 9. So you caught me. You knew that I was meaning that was a higher percentage.
Yeah, very high percentage. What else is happening in the marketplace you've been watching over the last few days?
Well, we've still seen no corn deliveries here. We're coming down to a day and a half, and we see that it's 88 over at the Gulf. You just wonder what's going to happen and what sort of fireworks. Can we see something like we did in wheat a few years back? I don't know. I don't think it's going to be that crazy, but it very much is telling us that. Another thing, the wheat, the one railroad put in the cheaper rates to get wheat into some of the cattle feeding areas, and seen a lot of interest on that by a lot of cattle feeders there. And also, they're talking about the RIN value as being so high, and basically it was like a dollar and went to 50 cents a day in some of the trades. So a lot of stuff going on as far as the ethanol is concerned.
All right. Thanks so much. We appreciate it.
Thanks, Todd.
Wayne Nelson is with L&M Commodities in New Market, Indiana, joins us here on the Closing Market Report on this Tuesday afternoon.
Agricultural programming is made possible by Farm Credit of Illinois, offering financial products and services specifically for the agriculture industry, including farm real estate and operating loans, crop insurance, and point-of-sale financing, as well as farm cash management solutions.
Well, of course, you're listening to the Closing Market Report. You can find us online at WILLAG.org. You can find us on your smartphone at a different website if you want, m.willag.org, or you can just dial this number, 217-333-3434. Dave Dickey will be here in a moment with today's agricultural news.
Agricultural programs are made possible by Auditory Care Center, an independent hearing care center serving Champaign, Piatt, Ford, Vermilion, and other East Central Illinois counties. Auditory Care Center offers hearing evaluations as well as selection, fitting, and repair of hearing aids at 892-5959 in Rantoul.
In agricultural news, The American Soybean Association Board of Directors voted yesterday to change its policy positions to support keeping a target price program for farmers and dropped its support for the Shallow Loss Revenue Program, ASA, backed last year. The group will support an updated version of the countercyclical program crafted by the House of Representatives. The soybean growers also support keeping the proposed crop insurance program called the Supplemental Coverage Option that was in both the House and Senate farm bills. Mary Jo White is vowing to make bold and unrelenting enforcement of Wall Street a high priority if she is confirmed chairman of the Securities and Exchange Commission. White, a former prosecutor, says investors need to know the playing field is level and that wrongdoers will be aggressively and successfully pursued. She made the comments and prepared testimony to the Senate Banking Committee, which is considering her nomination today. A new study by the University of Nebraska-Lincoln has found that farmers in four states, Iowa, Nebraska, South Dakota, and Wyoming, collected a record $4.5 billion in 2012 insurance claims through March the 4th. Those payments preserved more than 20,000 jobs in ag-related businesses. The study, financed by Omaha-based Farm Credit Services of America, is one of the first to examine the benefits of crop insurance beyond the farm gate. Kansas State economists say that U.S. ethanol manufacturers are seeking wheat as raw material in a highly unusual move due to its uncharacteristic discount to corn. U.S.-based ethanol maker Poet Biorefining has bid for soft red winter wheat for use in its plant in Indiana. Ethanol makers in Kansas and Nebraska have also shown interest in buying wheat. The UN Food and Agriculture Organization predicts that grain prices are likely to fall in the second half of the year as grower countries recover from drought. The FAO Cereal Price Index averaged 245 points in February, almost 1% lower than in January, but 8% higher than in February last year. The FAO last week forecast a 4.3% rise in global wheat output in 2013 to the second highest tonnage of around 690 million. And that's a look at today's agricultural news.
Hey, thanks, Dave. Dave Dickey is Director of Agricultural Programming for Illinois Public Media. He'll be in LaSalle, Illinois tomorrow at celebrations at 6 o'clock. For an Ag Outlook panel that's open to the public, if you'd like to go watch Dave in action and see what the Ag Outlook panel has to say about the marketplace, please do. At 6 o'clock, they'll open for some light snacks, and then 6:30, Dave and company will get started. That again at Celebrations in LaSalle. It's sponsored by the LaSalle County Stockmen.
Agricultural programs are made possible by Risk Management Commodities Incorporated, headquartered in Lafayette, Indiana, with branches in Chalmers, Indiana, and Hudsonville, Illinois, providing independent commodity, financial, and currency analysis to its clients and newsletter subscribers. On the web at myrmconline.com.
It's time to define a marketing term. Commodity broker, analyst, and author of Mastering the Grain Markets, Elaine Cubb joins us. She, of course, believes the key to profitable grain trading is building knowledge about the fundamental practices of the industry. Today, she'll help us define an option strategy. Thanks so much for taking the time with us. There are a whole lot of terms that we need to go through, Elaine. Let's first start with what an option might be.
There are two types of options. There are put options and there are call options. So a put option, think of it like an insurance contract. It will pay you, it will financially reimburse you if the market price moves lower, for instance. And a call option will financially reimburse you if the market price goes higher. And the way it does this is, again, like insurance, you pay a premium. You pay for the option to sell an asset at a price if that's advantageous to you. And if the market goes up and it wouldn't be advantageous to you to sell at that price, you'd rather sell at the present market price, then you don't have to do it. So you have the option. That's why they call it that.
So let's deal with put options, because it's easier, I think, sometimes to think about a put because farmers are used to selling as opposed to buying. But in this case, you say you pay a premium, so we have to talk about prices and what premiums are, and the prices are called strike prices?
Yes, so let me give you an example right now. December 2013 corn put options at a $5.50 strike price would cost 46 cents of premium. So that $5.50 strike price is the level that you are going to have the option of selling at. So if in December 2013, it would be advantageous to you to sell at $5.50 rather than $4.50 if the market falls to $4.50, then you have the option to do that. If it would not be advantageous because the market is now $6, then you wouldn't have to do it. And in the meantime, you paid 46 cents per bushel to have that right.
And you can buy at different strike price levels. So let's say I thought that I wanted to protect something higher than that.
You can buy a July 2013 corn option September. I mean, every month has their own options, and then you can use different strike prices. And as the strike prices go up, the premium price will also raise for a put option.
And the opposite is true for a call option.
Absolutely. And so when we talk about this in terms of farmers hedging, yeah, a farmer will want to protect the downside risk, so they will be buying put options. But let's say we're a livestock feeder. We would want to be buying call options on corn to protect the upside risk of our feed costs going up. So both of these can be used as hedging strategies for real agriculture industry participants.
So let me summarize very quickly. If I am a farmer and I have corn to sell and I want to sell it in the month of March of next year, that's when I want to be able to deliver it. So I want the time value that's between now and March. And if I were to buy the March at the money, or what the current price on the futures market is, it would cost me, say, 50 cents. I'm making this up, of course, and say that was at what's March corn at?
But $5.60. It would cost you 55 cents. You're good, Todd.
Yeah, 55 cents at $5.60. So essentially, I have now locked in a price of $5.05 per bushel for my corn.
Yes.
And when we get to March, I can either take that money, or if it is valuable, or I can just simply let it expire and make the sale. For instance, if the price of corn in March is higher than it is today. But I still have the premium that I've already paid, so it's an insurance policy of sorts.
Exactly. And something that you brought up there was the time value. So a lot of that 55 cents is actually going to change as we get closer to March. The premium value may decay. There may be less and less value in there. So this is interesting about options versus insurance contracts, is that typically people don't buy and then sell back their insurance contracts and trade them, you know, buy and sell them in active trade. Options, however, you can buy and sell at all times, and regardless of what that strike price is, the premium price itself will be changing. So you can buy it just on the intention of maybe it will never go in the money, but the premium value will rise if the market rises or falls. So they can be traded just based on those premium values.
At this point, we have only talked about buying a put or buying a call. But as is the case with all sales, somebody has to be on the other side. In this case, there would be somebody selling either the put or the call, and that is an entirely different prospect.
Yes, it can be. So selling options, again, we're just trading the premium. So if you expect the premium value of an option to fall in the future, you can sell it outright and make money by buying it back later. If you do this, this is also called options writing. And think of it like being the insurance company rather than being the person buying the insurance. You just get to collect that premium. And if the strike price never gets matched, then the option expires worthless and you get to keep all of that premium. However, if the strike price does get exceeded, or if the market falls below the strike price, depending on whether you're selling a put or a call, if that happens, now you have effectively unlimited risk because you will be on the hook for paying out the value of the option to the person who bought it. So it is riskier to be an options writer than it is to be an options buyer, but it can certainly be done, and it's a great way that a lot of speculative traders make a good deal of profit selling options.
And the option buyer, for instance, as we've already said, pays the premium, and that never changes. They have that much money, let's say the 50 cents in the market, and they never can make more or lose more on that particular part of the trade. But the option writer is subject to margin calls.
Yes, that's true. Because like I said, if the option ends up in the money, now that option writer is going to start losing penny for penny as the market changes. So he is now effectively long or short a actual futures contract. So yes, the exchange will depend on him to put forth that good faith, earnest, you know, margin money that they can hold on to in escrow in case he starts losing.
Okay, so now let's go back and take a look at another word that we have defined at one point in time called spread. And can you work that into an option strategy?
Yes. So here's the real value of options. And here's where they start getting complex. And people will start talking about butterfly spreads and iron condors. And they have all kinds of funny names for these option spreads. But this is the beauty of options trading, is that the spread trading, where you are simultaneously buying and selling an asset, two assets in the same market space, to take advantage of the difference between them. There are so many good opportunities for doing that in options, because there are a number of ways that the premium value changes. The premium value changes depending on how the underlying assets price changes, or how the time value of the premium changes, or how the volatility of the market changes, or how the interest rate changes. But we don't have to worry about that right now in a low interest rate environment. So you can simultaneously buy and sell a put option within the corn market, and that's a pretty standard, pretty basic options spread trade. That would be a put spread. And now you are taking advantage of the difference between those two premium values, and you're covering some risk to a certain degree. Let's say you bought that $5.50 December 2013 corn put, and then you simultaneously turned around and you sold a $4.50 2013 December corn put. Now you get to take advantage of the profit between the $5.50 and the $4.50, but then below $4.50, you're short that put. So this can be done. And the nice thing about it is that you are simultaneously gaining time value at the same time that you're losing time value on the long put. So there's a lot of things that can be done with spread trading and options that make them really valuable for people who can understand the many ways that premium value changes, but it does get more complex.
If you'd like to understand more about options and other kinds of grain marketing, of course, you can just pick up a copy of Elaine Cubb's book, Mastering the Grain Market. She's a broker and an analyst and joins us here each and every week. I'm U of I Extension's Todd Gleason.
Agricultural market reports on WILL are made possible with support from Busey. Small business is the next big business, so Busey offers solutions to fit growing business needs, from customizable lending options to succession planning. Busey, your dream, our promise.
We'll return here on the closing market report in just 2 minutes. We'll talk with Don Day of Day Weather out of Cheyenne, Wyoming, about the agricultural weather forecast.
Todd Gleason's services are made available to WILL by University of Illinois Extension.
It's National Baked Scallops Day. On this day in agricultural history in 1841, Orlando Jones of Middlesex, England, received a U.S. patent for a process to make starch from rice or corn. Previously, rice would be steeped in water for several weeks to separate the starch by fermentation. Though with limited yield,
The patent described a process to extract starch from rice, which shortened the production time, increased the yield, and left byproducts in a condition suitable for further uses. In 1929, Asa Griggs Candler died. In 1887, Candler, a wholesale druggist, purchased the formula for Coca-Cola for $2,300. Candler then spent $50,000 a year on advertising, an unheard-of amount at the turn of the century. He eventually sold the company in 1919 for $25 million. In 1831, Clement Studebaker founded a firm that one time was the world's largest producer of horse-drawn vehicles, the Studebaker Brothers Manufacturing Company in South Bend, Indiana. The company motto, always give more than you promise. In 1930, Mahatma Gandhi began his march to the coastal village of Dandi to protest the British salt monopoly. And in 1993, Christian Kent Nelson died. He was the inventor of the Eskimo pie. And that's This Day in Agricultural History.
You're listening to the Closing Market Report. It's a Tuesday afternoon. Don Day of Day Weather is here to take a look at what's been happening across the planet. Let's start in the Midwest and maybe to your part of the world, the Western Plains and the Western part of the Midwest, and whether or not the rainfalls that have come over recent weeks have begun to alleviate portions of the drought there or not.
Oh, definitely. It has been the last 4 to 5 weeks. There are portions of Kansas, portions of Colorado, in many areas of Nebraska and Iowa, in the heart of the Central Plains that have had the worst drought conditions, it's definitely helped. Has it been enough to move the drought status to a different category yet? No, but we're getting closer. As we've seen some areas, in those areas I just outlined, that have picked up anywhere between 2 to 4 inches of precipitation. Of course, that's come in the form, some of it's come in the form of snow, and it's certainly something that gives us some hope as we go into later this month and in April and May, and hope that trend will continue. The southern areas, though, still suffering. New Mexico, a corner of southwest Kansas, a corner of southeast Colorado, has basically been missing out on a lot of this activity.
We're completely sure that it's not about the rain that has fallen, but about the rain that will fall, and I guess that's all about a weather pattern change, and those normally come at this time of year.
Yeah, this is when we start to see things picking up, and in contrast to last year, and last year was important because March of last year was drier and warmer than normal for just about everybody across the lower 48. This month, it's not starting out that way, and indications are, especially for the northern tier of the country, including the Corn Belt, there's going to be more cold, wet weather this month.
What do you see in the near term for those of us in the eastern Corn Belt?
Well, we're going to see what I call a clipper pattern. We're going to see a series of systems come out of western Canada, move across the Dakotas, then move across the upper Midwest, Great Lakes, and the northern and central and eastern areas of the Corn Belt. It looks like these systems are going to be spaced about every 2 or 3 days apart, and we see at least 2, possibly 3 of these systems over the next 10 days. And each of these systems should be quite productive at producing wet weather, especially the central and eastern Corn Belt.
Oh, I love it. Well, at least at the moment, but eventually we'll want it to dry out the plant. It's never quite right. Turn us to South America, where they have had a growing season of ups and downs.
Ups and downs, and yeah, especially the down for Argentina with the dryness. And right now, the forecast, at least the tail end of their season, still is looking a lot like it has all summer in many areas of South America. Rainfall, not bad in Brazil. Those will be the areas that have the best chance of rain. And while rain does look to be a little bit of a better possibility next week for Argentina, at least for the rest of this week, they're going to remain dry, along with temperatures in South America that are a little cooler than normal.
It's been cold in China. Can you take a look at the growing regions there, too?
Yeah, well, the trend in China is going to be wet in the central and southern areas, and when it comes to temperatures, a bit warmer. We're going to see China heading into the next week or two with a warmer weather pattern. which should help them out a little bit. Where the cold's going to be is in Europe. Central, Western Europe, going to be very, very cold, much colder than normal over the next week to 10 days. While as you get into Russia and into Asia, it will be getting warmer.
Yeah, I think France and Belgium have had a very late snowfall in the last couple of days.
And they are looking at maybe getting more. This is going to be a March to remember for many areas of Central and Western Europe.
Thank you so much.
Thank you.
That's Don Day with Day Weather out of Cheyenne, Wyoming, and wraps up this Tuesday edition of the Closing Market Report. I'm Todd Gleason.